the OAA. Barcelona, most fools couldn't praise me, Sally's done.
By George, the dream is alive.
GiantKiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network present the By George Podcast with Brian Lawrence and Chris Jones. The original George Mason basketball podcast.
They're on their feet. Here, Hancock! Oh! Off the top of the backboard, no. Loose, Hancock, front court, Mason. Long Mason point, George Mason.
Hey, my mojo so dope. My mojo so dope.
Yeah.
Chris Jones, we are back for another summer COVID edition to the By George podcast. Recently, we had Coach Dave Paulson on. So if you didn't listen to that episode, go back and find it on Spotify or iTunes at By George GMU. Jonesy, it's good to be back.
It is great to be back. And we have a very special guest today, the one and only Maurice Joseph, a.k.a. Mojo. What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Chris, Brian, thanks for having me, man. This is awesome.
We want to congratulate you getting the job here at George Mason. You know, it's a school that we love, that we cherish. So, you know, we welcome you with open arms. I want to ask you, are you living in Fairfax now?
No. So I live in D.C. You know, my wife and I, we've lived in D.C. for the past 3 years, so I plan on staying here and kind of making that trek to VA every day. But I do live in D.C.
I live on 8th Street in Northeast D.C., been in D.C. now 9 to 10 years, so I make that drive too. You want to leave a little early on game days because it can get backed up on Braddock Road.
Yeah.
that's a great nugget there. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Talk to us about, you know, because we covered you when we were at GW. You know, talk to us a little bit about your time before GW. Give us, you know, how you worked your way up in the coaching ranks.
Yeah, so I got to GW in 2011 as the assistant director of operations after playing professionally for 1 year in Israel. You know, playing professionally was always a childhood dream of mine. But becoming a coach quickly became my passion. I knew I wanted to coach probably my junior year in college, and you know, getting an opportunity to come to GW and coach in the A-10 as my first gig was a great opportunity for me. And I was the assistant director of operations for 2 years, from 11 to 13. Was able to move up and become an assistant in from 13 to 16. You know, gained some great experience, and that was around the time when Mason joined the league. I believe it was either 12 or 13-ish around that time. And then I was the head coach for 3 years, and spent the last year at FDU, and now I'm here at Mason. So haven't bounced around too much, but gained some extremely valuable experience in my career thus far that I'm very grateful for.
And Coach, I heard that you had some history with George Mason. Even back in your old college days, did you want to touch on that?
Yeah, so my first introduction to George Mason was in 2006 when we made the NCAA tournament when I was a player at Michigan State, and hadn't heard about George Mason, didn't know too much about teams in the D.C. area outside of, you know, Georgetown and Maryland and schools like that I'd heard of, that I'd played against in my time at Michigan State, or had seen games on TV and all that kind of stuff. And so, unfortunately, I think there's a little bit of overlooking the program, overlooking the game, and kind of having our eyes set on the second round.
Wow.
And learned a valuable lesson there, because George Mason came in and played extremely well with guys like Jai Lewis and Lamar Butler, had great games, and it's a game that I'll never forget. It's a post game locker room that I'll never forget. So now when I go to Eagle Bank Arena every day to go to work, and I kind of peek into the arena and I see the Final Four banner hanging down, it's kind of bittersweet in the sense that it's always great to work for a program with tremendous history, and such a recent trip to the Final Four is incredible. But it does remind me of that game, and it does remind me of the post game locker room and how somber it was and how sad we were to be upset the way we did. But it's a little bit of a bittersweet deal. So I learned that day to never underestimate opponents, and George Mason was certainly on my radar after that.
And what was playing for Izzo like? Like, he's obviously going to go down as one of the greats. You know, did you learn from him? And then the rest of your playing career, did you finish out at Michigan State?
Yeah, so playing for Coach Izzo was unbelievable. You know, the day I got to campus at GW, I wrote him a handwritten letter, just thanking him for the mentorship, for the lessons, for teaching me a lot of X's and O's and concepts and you know, cultural deals that I use as a coach that I value a great deal of, all stem from him. So he's been very influential in my career, whether he's known it or not. And now he's become a mentor, as you know, while since I've become a coach. But he's great. You know, he's one of the people that I think is extremely demanding as a coach. You guys see the intensity and the colorful gestures on the sideline and all that kind of stuff. What I think people don't get to see is how genuine of a person he is and how much he cares for his players, even long after they leave the program. And you know, he's a Hall of Fame coach, but he's also a Hall of Fame person. And I think that's what, you know, separates him and makes him as great as he is, because people want to go to bat for him, people want to play hard for him just because of how much he cares about his players. But yeah, great experience playing for him, and now get a chance to have him on speed dial and use him as a sounding board for a lot of different things, and it's definitely a benefit to my career. But then I did transfer after 2 years just to get closer to home and be closer to my family in Montreal, and I did end up finishing my career at University of Vermont, which was also another great experience.
And if I remember correctly, around that time, I even think we still had like a home and home with Vermont. Were you still playing Mason even at Vermont? Were you on the team with like Marcus Blakely and all that?
Yes. Oh. So my first game at Vermont, George Mason came to UVM and beat us. It was a close game. Yes, might have been an overtime game. This was 2008.
Yes. Okay.
Or yeah. Yeah, 2007 or 8, around that time. And I do remember that. We lost that game. I believe it was in overtime, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I was part of that game as well. So don't have a great playing record against George Mason.
Well, play, like, you coached against us for a while. Talk about like your preparation for Paulson. Now you work for him, so obviously you can only say what you can say, but you know, what was it like preparing to play a George Mason team? You know, it's crazy to have, you know, someone with the A-10 experience joining the roster like this. We see it as a huge benefit, but I kind of want to know, like, when you coached against Mason, what did you have to focus on?
Coach Paulson's teams have always been very prepared, very tough. It was the elite guards that Coach Paulson has had in the program for the last few years. Like, think about Marquise Moore and Otis Livingston. You know, Greer was a hell of a player. Kyer, a heck of a player. You know, there's always been a bunch of really good backcourt guys that's kept you up at night. And that, in essence, was the bulk of the preparation. How do we limit those guys? How do we kind of make their offense a little bit more stagnant by stymieing their guards? You know, 1 year we had Yuta Watanabe guard Otis Livingston.
We know. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, so we tried to do whatever we could to kind of just limit their tremendous guard play, and we always thought that if we could do that, we could kind of give ourselves the best chance of winning the basketball game. So his teams are always very tough, always well prepared. It was always a fun battle, just knowing that the team from down the road, and it was always a little bit of a different deal. Most times we went to the game the day of, so even when we went to Eagle Bank, it was kind of a different type of road game because we traveled the day of since it's so close. And I have a great deal of respect for Coach Paulson, the way his teams played. You know, they played hard, they played unselfish. They're obviously pretty talented, and They're always really well prepared and well coached. So I've told him this privately. I've said this publicly. I've always had a great deal of respect for him as a coach and how his teams carried themselves and how they played. I'll never forget the last time playing Otis Livingston. I told him on the sideline, I was like, I'm going to need the date of your graduation just so I can make sure you're there so that you can get the heck out of the league because I'm tired of playing against you and tired of preparing for you. And we had a good laugh on the sideline. But just a great deal of respect for the players that came through the program, for the way they played and for the way Coach Paulson and his staffs in the past have really had his teams ready to play.
Now, Coach, now that you've officially joined the staff, what role are you filling what type of role do you want to sort of, work yourself into this current staff? Like, are you going to be like a recruiter? Are you going to focus on the X's and O's? Are you here for support? How do you see yourself working in?
Well, I pride myself on being a well-rounded coach and kind of being someone who can game plan, who can do a great job in player development, who can recruit, and so I try to be well-rounded and work at it from a holistic standpoint. But I'll be in charge of the front court players, and we'll be working with them very closely on the court and in the office, watching film and all that kind of stuff. So I'll do that, but I will be recruiting a great deal and trying to add some of my network and some of my relationships to the recruiting fold of the program. Obviously, being from Canada, being able to kind of add a pipeline there, hopefully, and then my experience recruiting the DMV and the Northeast so heavily for the past 5, 6, 7 years or whatever it's been is also going to be hopefully very fruitful for us in our program. So that's kind of going to be my role in charge of the front court players, but I will have a piece in recruiting. We'll have a piece in all facets of the program. But I'm hoping to bring my experience playing in the A-10 and playing against George Mason probably twice to three times a year for the past 4, 5, 6 years. In addition to everything else, try to bring that experience to the table to benefit our program and our preparation as we get going and try to chase championships and do all that kind of stuff. So I'm hoping to bring a holistic approach to the whole deal.
And I want to build on that a little bit because something we care about here at By George a lot is recruiting. That's actually kind of why we got started, was just to make our program look as tight as possible with videos and audio and pictures and everything else.
Yeah.
So we want to kind of learn a little bit more about your pipelines to some extent. Is it just, you said you've been recruiting this kind of area for a while, but there's also that Canadian pipeline as well. I want to learn a little bit about how you plan to attack the new landscape, given that we're going to see a lot of transfers, I imagine, coming up soon, as we already are. And so it's recruiting is going to be more important than ever, which is why I'm excited for you to join the staff. So I just kind of want to hear more about, do you have a plan of attack for that, understanding that transferring might be more prominent in today's game?
Yeah. First, I think that learning the culture, learning the kind of the DNA of the program is going to be important for me. And I've been relentless in asking questions to the rest of the staff. I'm sure that I'm bugging them at this point, but I believe it's really important to get a tremendous understanding of the type of kids that Coach Paulson wants. So having conversations with him and having conversations with the staff, I think is number one. You can try to recruit the most talent in the world, but if they don't fit your culture, they don't kind of check a lot of boxes from an academic standpoint, character, culture, all those intangibles, then it's typically not going to work out. So that's first and foremost, kind of understanding the culture of the program and being new, getting a really great feel for that. But then after that, really attacking my networks and recruiting guys that fit how we want to play, getting a great deal of talent, length, and athleticism. I know how important that is in the A-10 after for years of being in the league, trying to recruit front court players with a great mix of skill, size, and athleticism as the game continues to evolve and front court players needing to be able to pass, dribble, and shoot to a certain extent. I want to bring that to the table. But the recruiting piece from a transfer standpoint, I think you have to kind of evaluate the transfer market because it is so prevalent. And you see programs across the board making a lot of making a lot of great acquisitions from a roster standpoint with transfers, and the DMV being what it is from a basketball standpoint and having so many players, not all the players from the DMV go to school in the DMV. Sometimes they branch out, and oftentimes they want to come back to the area at some point in their careers. You know, back at GW, we had Isaiah Armwood, who went to Villanova, come back. He's a Baltimore kid. We had Maurice Creek, went to Indiana, come back, and he's an Oxon Hill kid. And, you know, so you mentioned the transfer market. It is prevalent, and that's, you know, whether it's going to remain like that or change, that's up to the NCAA and how the kind of the game progresses. But if it continues along this trend, I think it is something that we want to look at. And, you know, anytime you can acquire players with great talent and experience that fit your culture and can help you win at the highest levels and certainly in the A-10, I think you got to explore those options. So so with my network in the DMV and in Canada, the Northeast, and you know, and kind of diving into the transfer market, I hope to really be instrumental in bringing some talented players to George Mason so we can really do some damage on the court.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely exciting news for us. I know that, you know, Canada's kind of a up-and-coming hotbed of talent. Even, you know, just the Toronto Raptors winning a championship, you know, basketball is growing in Canada. Even, you know, I even noticed last week we threw out an offer to a 16-year-old. I'm probably going to butcher his name, but Will Gwynes Exacta Jr.? But yeah, he mentioned you were helping recruit him. It's nice to see some of these like higher profile kids getting some offers from Mason. Are you wanting to go after higher profile kids, or do you just kind of have to sort of, you know, fit the mold of what you know, Paulson's looking for?
Yeah, I think you want to go after talented kids for sure. I mean, we don't want to kid ourselves. We need talent to win. You know, everybody does, but. But again, more so than anything, really, really having some synergy with Coach Paulson and figuring out what kind of kids he wants in the program. I know he wants talented kids. I know he wants guys with length and athleticism who can shoot the basketball and handle it and have all that kind of stuff. Everybody wants that. But really understanding what kind of kids he wants to coach and what kind of kids he expects to be in his program and what kind of kids he expects us as assistants to bring to the table, that's the biggest piece. And if those guys fit and we have connections to them, and they're high profile, then great, you know. But it's not always about the how many stars a kid is rated, right, and all that kind of stuff. You know, we had some pretty good players at GW who people never even heard of in terms of like Kevin Larson and Patricia Guarino. Those guys, I think, ended up being some pretty good players, and they were probably half stars coming out of high school, but they fit what we were trying to do. So I think fit is important. In addition to talent and tools and skill sets and all that kind of stuff. So still learning that piece, but having known Coach Paulson for some years, having known Bryson and Simp and the rest of the guys for some time now, I think I have some familiarity already with the kind of guys that they've been recruiting in the past. And to be honest, Coach Paulson and I would find ourselves in a lot of the same gyms. Not even just in the DMV, we'd bump into each other in New England a bunch, and so we recruited kind of the same types of kids in the past. So I do have some familiarity, which has helped this transition quite a bit. So I'm just looking forward to hitting the ground running and really really hitting the recruiting trail hard whenever we're allowed to do that. You know what I mean? The NCAA has obviously extended the dead period, but I'm just looking forward to kind of bringing some really good talent to George Mason.
And one thing to talk about is, of course, COVID is throwing things off, but some of us kind of feel like that could be a positive in the sense that, you know, kids aren't necessarily playing in AAU where you can get a lot of exposure. Is this a time period where you really dive into their winter film and find some gems that may have flourished both in their junior and senior seasons of AAU? Is this a time where you think there's an opportunity to maybe, you know, snake some players?
I think so, just because, you know, everybody wants to evaluate live, right? Everybody wants to see a kid play and kind of see how he interacts with his teammates and hear him on the court and kind of be up close and personal. I think that's the best way to get an evaluation. But the reality is right now we're not able to go out and see people. So being able to get film and evaluate on film is part of the deal typically, but now it's probably going to weigh even more heavily now because that might be the only opportunity we get to see some of our 21 kids, and some of those games might be from last December or January, and so we don't get a great grasp on how much they've grown or how strong, if they've gotten stronger, or if their jump shots improved or anything like that, you know. So it is a little tricky, but in coaching, just like in life, I think you're only as good as your ability to adjust, adapt, and evolve. And this is the cards we're dealt right now, and we're not able to go out. So we got to gather as much film as we can, and highlights, and do as much recon work with the kids' circle as we can in terms of who's helping to make decisions. If it's, you know, mom, dad, uncle, lunch lady, you know, AAU coach, workout guy, really attacking the kids' circle, building those relationships, and figuring out what's the best, what's the best route for us. But film is definitely a big part of that now because we simply can't go out and see people.
Now, coach, what are your thoughts on this team moving forward? So, I'm sure you've been able to watch a lot of our games and players, AJ Wilson. And with your just sort of outsider evaluation, now that you've moved into the program, what do you see for this program, starting this year with, you know, the current roster that we have, understanding that we just finished 12th in the A-10, a strong start last year, ultimately ended, in a disappointing manner. With who we have coming in, Ronald Polite, Malik, Otis, you know, a bunch of guys coming in. What's your perspective and sort of what do you think that we can do this year in the A-10?
Yeah, I think that, you know, not having followed the team as closely last year, obviously not being in the league, but in the past few weeks, getting a better feel for last year's team and how the season went, some injuries went into play, and, you know, some and all that kind of stuff, and that can always be, you know, a big part of how a season turns out. But all that aside, our team moving forward, I see a lot of length, see a lot of interchangeability. I see a player in AJ Wilson who made a tremendous jump in his development. I remember him when he got to the league and thinking that, you know, if he becomes a little bit more refined, a little bit more polished, that kid has a real chance. And watching his film from his past season, especially the last game of the year against St. Joe's and how well he shot it and how, you know, versatile he'd become, I think he's going to make a monster jump. I think our front court is very talented. I think Josh Aduro is going to make a tremendous jump. That's a kid from Paul the Sixth that I've seen a great deal in high school and been really impressed with him. I think Jordan Miller, I remember him as a freshman coming out, just kind of wreaking havoc, and with his length and ability to rebound and kind of, you know, snake his way to the basket. I think our front court is really talented, but then you add in guys like Javon Green and Jamal Hartwell, who are capable guards at getting people in a rotation by getting downhill and scoring in different manners and, you know, and playing through ball screen. So I really like our team. I like our size. I like our mix of skill and athleticism, and I like our depth. I think some of our freshmen are going to come in and have an opportunity to prove themselves. And I haven't seen them live just because, you know, obviously I'm new to the program. But from what I've seen online or what I've been told, I think some of them in particular are going to have an opportunity to come in and do some pretty cool things. But I like our depth, like our athleticism, like our experience, and I'm excited to get going whenever that is. You know, I'm excited to get going.
That's what we like to hear.
That's what I was going to touch on is had you seen Polite play at all? And if not, you've obviously watched something of him. What do you have any initial thoughts on Ronald Polite?
Yeah, I think he's talented. I think he's a guard that can come in and play multiple positions and guard multiple positions. But again, you know, not having been able to evaluate him personally and see him live and not having been able to spend time on the court with him, you know, freshmen have an adjustment period. He's gonna have to transition and that's gonna tell whether or not he's gonna be able to contribute at a high level. I'm confident that he will be able to and he'll adjust well, but you know, that's a process that everybody has to go through. And I'm just looking forward to getting him on campus, being able to see him live and watch our guys compete, and kind of from there figure out what our rotation is going to be, what's our shot distribution going to look like, what our minutes are going to look like, what kind of offense and what kind of sets and secondaries and breaks and all that kind of stuff works best for us. What kind of defense will we need to play? All the different things you get when evaluating your team in a new season. I'm just looking forward to being able to do that with this program.
During this COVID era, are you finding yourself just sitting down and watching hours of film, or is it making phone calls, or what is the kind of the COVID era of recruiting look like?
Are you doing a bunch of Zoom calls?
Yes. So that's one good thing that's come out of this, from a recruiting standpoint of this pandemic, is the notion that, I've FaceTime kids as a recruiting deal instead of just making phone calls. I've FaceTime and Skyped with parents, if it was an overseas kid and all that kind of stuff. But the Zoom calls have been really, really beneficial, and you can get a lot done in terms of sharing your screen and playing videos and showing graphics and getting a staff together. It's a really cool way. So pandemic or not, I think that's something that we should continue. I'm sure that staffs across the country are noticing that, having almost by default having had to go to that method of recruiting. But in terms of evaluating, yes, you're absolutely right. It's a lot of sitting down and watching film. This time of year, typically we're traveling across the country and evaluating players from East Coast to West Coast, but that's obviously not the case now. So we're trying to get as much film as we can on the people that we're recruiting, trying to be efficient with our time, trying to be efficient with our phone calls and making sure we're hitting the right people and building the relationships that we need to build. And, it's changed. The landscape has changed this summer and spring. So going into 21, we're probably a lot of schools are going to have to, or most schools are going to have to make commitments on guys that they hadn't seen play in 5, 6, 7, 8 months. It's just kind of the reality of things. It is what it is. You try to get as much as you can from the film. You try to understand who they are from a character standpoint, as much from your relationship building process, and learning from their families and their teachers and coaches and all that kind of stuff. But again, we got to be able to adjust, adapt, and evolve with the times, and we're in unprecedented times, and we got to try to keep the train rolling. We got to keep the train rolling, and we got to try to get the player that fit us and that can help us win at the highest level, regardless of what's going on from a recruiting standpoint.
So we're going to push basketball to the side for a second. We want to get to know Mojo. What gets you going?
Let's
favorite
do it.
Favorite food. You're in the DC area now, which got me really excited. Are you are you eating Mambo sauce all the time like myself? Like, what food in DC?
Food or restaurant? Yeah. Where do you like to go?
Let's talk some food.
Yeah. Oh man, how much time do you guys have? Jeez,
plenty.
plenty.
So, restaurants. I'm a big Founding Farmers fan.
Okay.
I'm a big seafood fan. But Carolina Kitchen is another really good restaurant. I really love Carolina Kitchen.
So hold on, Founding Farmers fried chicken and donuts is probably one of the best meals I've ever had. Are you familiar with their fried chicken?
I am. Have you had their mussels?
I have, actually. And man, their mussels are also banging.
That restaurant can't miss, man. It is tremendous. But so many good restaurants in DC. I'm trying to think. I'm Caribbean. My parents are from Trinidad and Tobago, so I love Caribbean food. So Teddy's Roti Shop on Georgia Ave is another great restaurant that I try to support quite a bit. There's so many. I can't even think of some off the top of my head, but I love me some DC restaurants.
Unfortunately, there aren't that many great dining destinations in Fairfax. So yeah, you'll probably have to just wait to go home to eat.
That's fine with me. That's fine with me.
What about during this entire COVID shelter in place? Have you been watching anything? Binging anything? What is Mojo watching?
Oh man, this is a great question. So I'm a big Ozark fan.
Oh.
So I watched that.
I've watched all three seasons of Ozark. So we're on
tremendous show. Big Jason Bateman fan. Yeah. I watched The Office probably. I watched it over probably for the fourth or fifth time.
Me too.
You can never go wrong with The Office. I've watched. I watched Breaking Bad, Dexter.
All gems. P.S.
Yeah, great show. So, and then I've done some movies, and I've done some historical stuff as well. Trying to you know some social injustice documentaries like 13th and you know, Life, the Khalif Browder story. So I've been trying to kind of keep it diverse and not just binging television shows. But I especially early in the quarantine, I spent a lot of time just trying to kill time and binging some shows. I really tapered off, luckily. But those are some of the shows that I really enjoy.
I think 13th is a must watch for everybody. It's
no question.
It's well done. I think you get viewpoints from multiple different perspectives. I just think it's an awesome watch. One show that I've just recently started watching for the first time, many people told me I needed to watch it, was Community. And that has like Childish Gambino and this chick from this show Love that I like, and John Oliver, and just all these like gem of actors. So if you find yourself on Netflix looking for something, Community is just kind of a good show. It's about a community college and right. a bunch okay. of people kind of coming together. And it just has like, I just didn't realize how like star studded it was before recently turning that on. So okay. if you do oh, find
that's
yourself.
A, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I got to add that one to the queue.
Yeah. So add Community. I'm going to ask you about it again. We're going to definitely have you on our podcast again. and then
I got some homework to do.
We got some music to talk about. Obviously, you know, if you listen to By George, or if you know our content, music is heavily involved. You know, we always have awesome songs in all of our podcasts, and then also we make videos, and it's just obviously something we focus on. What are you bumping, especially pregame? Is there anything that like kind of gets you in the game zone?
Yeah, I'm a huge Jay-Z fan, so I'm a hip hop fan in general. I do have a broad taste in music, but I'm a huge hip hop and R&B fan, and Jay-Z is always a go-to. The Black Album, I think, is the greatest album ever put together across any genre, and I'm willing to come to blows about that argument with anybody. But
keep going. Sorry,
I'm obviously Canadian, so anything that Drake puts out, I'm hopping on. I gotta support him. But when I want to mellow out, I'm a big '90s R&B fan, SWV and TLC and Escape and John B. So I do have a little bit of an eclectic taste. I like some soca music, which is Caribbean music from Trinidad and Tobago, and I listen to that when I kind of want to get energized and kind of juiced up. But pregame is definitely some Jay-Z and very hip hop driven. So that's kind of my go tos.
So have you held on to your Canadian roots as far as professional sports go? Like I know being a coach, it must be hard to be like a fanboy of like some professional team, but like, do you still find yourself like watching professional sports? What we're trying to get at is, are you a DC sports fan?
You know what? I kind of am.
That pause told us everything.
No, you got to remember, where did the Nats originate?
Yeah, Montreal.
Exactly.
You're an Expos fan.
So I'm an Expos fan. So I go to Nats games almost in boycott with Expos gear on.
I love
so
that.
I have an Expos T-shirt. That's my go-to T-shirt. I have a couple Expos, you know, hats, and I go to Expos games almost in protest. I go to enjoy the game and I support the Nats and all that kind of stuff, but. You know, I used to go to Expos games at Olympic Stadium as a kid, and you know, Pedro Martinez and Felipe Alou and all that, and all Vlad and all those guys.
Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, so that's kind of my childhood, going to the Olympic Stadium, me and the other 13 people in attendance at the games. You know what I mean? It was.
I mean, there was a reason why they left.
But you know, it's still kind of bittersweet. I'm a proud Montrealer, so I go and protest. So. I guess I am a little bit of a DC sports fan, but basketball-wise, NBA, I'm a Lakers fan. I've been a Kobe Bryant fan since he entered the league, and you know, I went to Michigan State and got to interact with Magic Johnson a bunch, and so because of that, I'm a Lakers guy. So that's my protein.
What about football?
Not a big pro football guy.
As long as you're not a Cowboys fan, that's all we need to hear.
No,
are you excited to be a Red Wolves fan?
Again, college football is more my sport. I don't get too much into the NFL, to be honest with you. I'm a big Michigan State football fan.
So you like Kirk?
Yeah, Kirk yeah. Cousins.
Yeah, you're a Kirk
guy. You like that. Exactly, Kirk. I love me some Cousins, but yeah, I'm more of a college football guy than an NFL guy.
Okay. Mojo, before we let you go, we want to give you the opportunity just to tell Mason fans what they can expect from you. You know, I know one thing, you know, especially us, we're constantly focusing on the bench at what coaches are doing and saying. And just like you, when you're recruiting, you want to hear the sounds and kind of see it for yourself. That's the same thing we're doing at By George. We're constantly watching the coaching staff. What can Mason expect from you, not only on the sidelines, but just as a coach at George Mason?
Yeah, behind the scenes even.
Yeah. I mean, you can always expect relentless energy and work ethic from me. I'm a guy that believes in outworking people, whether it be on the court, whether it be on the recruiting trail. I think that the only way to beat people out and to compete at the highest level is to invest time in the craft. And you know, I'm not a player anymore, so I'm not getting shots up in the gym, not working my body as much as I probably should. But investing time in recruiting and watching film and diving into the X's and O's and what can get us a competitive edge. So being relentless in that regard. But in terms of the behind the scenes thing, I also enjoy being relentless in the investment of time in our players and serving them, serving their well-being, and making sure that their needs are met, both, you know, physically, emotionally, and mentally, and all that kind of stuff. Because I believe when you invest that time, it's going to be the effort and the work ethic and the grit and the toughness and all those things you want, it's going to be reciprocated to you, because it's coming from a place of caring and not just barking at players and demanding this and demanding that, but it's a place of, all right, you know, we have a relationship, we care about this common goal, we care about each other, so let's go attack this thing relentlessly on a daily basis. So in terms of what people expect, you can expect servant leadership, you can expect relentless energy and effort, you can expect loyalty in terms of putting everything I got into making sure that we're competing at the highest level, we're giving ourselves an edge, and then and everything in between. So that's kind of in a nutshell, kind of a Cliff Notes version of who I am and how I coach and what I'm about. But I might tear my suit pants a couple of times like I did at GW, because I get fired up very, very easily, and I'm a high energy guy, and I'm always bouncing off the walls and you know, headbutting people and all that kind of stuff. I'm a little bit of a meathead, but I think energy has to be the foundation. That's what I bring on a day to day basis, in addition to the experience and the X's and O's and the expertise and all those other areas of coaching. So I'm fired up about being here at Mason and joining such a great staff and joining such a great game day atmosphere. I always enjoyed coming to Mason to play against, seeing the green machine and seeing Doc in his flashy suits. I always enjoyed that from a competitor standpoint, but now I get to be part of it, and I can't wait, man. I'm really excited and feel very fortunate to be a part of the program.
Well, the feeling's mutual. I know when you were hired, there was a lot of responses on Twitter, on message boards. People were excited to see your name come up. I think you're a fan of a lot of ours. I know that when we used to go to pressers, we would walk out of the press room and we would comment on you. You're just a cool guy. So it's just a pleasure to have you on the staff. And I think Mason Nation shares that. So
yeah,
I appreciate that.
And we want to, you know, we undersold Fairfax Food just a little bit. Go over to Taco Bamba or Halal,
you know,
guys,
what?
And
you
get yourself a delicious meal.
I have heard about Taco Bamba. That restaurant has come up maybe 3 or 4 times in the past 2 weeks in meetings. I guess our guys really like it. I don't know if it's open or not right now, but I definitely got to try that, because it has been bounced around a little bit.
It'll make you move to Burke.
Well, they have one in Falls Church, so you don't have to go too far out of the city if you just want to try it. But, Coach, thank you so much for coming on our show. We really appreciate it. Hopefully you find yourself familiar with the Giant Killer content. We definitely travel with the team as much as we possibly can. So
awesome.
And one thing I can say is that the Patriots Center feeds off of energy. That's just the truth. We don't always bring it, but if there is someone else in the building that's exhibiting energy, you know, hashtag AJ Wilson, We will follow that energy. Patriot Center will pop off.
Eagle Bank Arena.
Eagle Bank Arena will pop off. So,
well, you have my word that I'll bring my fair share, and you'll be able to see that on the sideline.
We really appreciate it. Jones, is there anything else we have left? This is 40 minutes of gold.
Nah, I'm psyched. I just can't wait until November, hopefully.
Or January, yeah, or whenever.
Let's cross our fingers and hope that we can play as soon as possible. And please, everyone listening, wear your masks and do your part and social distance and do everything that you can so that we can get back to some sort of normalcy, not just in sports, but in the country as a whole. So let's all work at this thing together.
Amen.
Yep, for sure. Thanks again, Coach. We're gonna be asking for interviews all season long. So just kind of if By George comes across your clipboard, just say okay.
I got you. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Mojo. Take care.
See ya.
Working on a weekend like usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist going nuts. Caught me slipping once, okay, so what? Someone hit your block up, I tell you if it was us. Man, a house in Rosewood, it too plush. Say my day's a number, but I keep waking up. Know you see my text, baby, please say something. Wine by the glass, your man a cheapskate, huh? Gotta move on my release day, huh? This is fame, not clout. I don't even know what that's about. Watch your mouth. Baby got an ego twice the size of the crib. I can never tell it is what it is. But said what I had to and did what I did. Never turn my back on FBG, God forbid. But Virgil got a paddock on my wrist, doing front flips. Giving you my number, but don't hit me on no dumb. Working on a weekend like usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist going nuts. Caught me slipping once, okay, so what? Someone hit your block up, I tell you if it was us. Man, a house in Rosewood, it too plush.
It's cool, man. Got red bottoms on. Life is good. You know what I mean? Like,